Blog Talk Radio.
Aaron McCready.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. The midterm elections are tomorrow. Nearly 19 million Americans already voted early. Some states electing governors, all House seats up for grabs. In 36 states, Senate seats on the ballot. Republicans need to add six to take control. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest saying,
I continue to think it's going to be Democrats, but we'll see.
The president's 2012 opponent in Alaska, where Republicans hope to unseat a sitting Democratic senator. Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal, live from Anchorage.
Jane, it is reminiscent of 2 years ago here, Mitt Romney campaigning against President Obama, but this time to help a Republican win an Alaska Senate seat.
The president made a lot of promises, but those promises have not helped the American people. And that's why you're going to see change in Washington, and that's going to start with Dan Sullivan right here in Alaska.
But it is a very tight race, and some here view the current Democratic Senator Mark Begich as safe.
I think that Begich has done a lot for our community, for Alaska. Sullivan seems like an outsider.
The GOP needs six seats to control the Senate, Jane.
Thanks, Jessica. Another Senate seat Republicans hope to pick up in Colorado. Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson joins us live from Denver.
Where the last Quinnipiac poll for this cycle put Republican Cory Gardner 2 points ahead of Democrat incumbent Mark Udall. That's well within the survey's 3.4% margin of error.
Senator Udall has run an obnoxious single-issue campaign, according to the Denver Post.
Gardner on the Aaron Harbor show here in Denver, quoting his endorsement by the Post. Now, Udall's taken a lot of criticism for focusing almost exclusively on women's rights, but he's not apologizing.
For me, moving the state forward means marriage equality. It means pay equity.
Udall at a weekend rally that also featured Dr. Jill Biden, the wife of the vice president. Jane?
Thanks, Rich. And you're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Doug Benson from the hit podcast, Doug Loves Movies. Stay tuned for this week's Watch This, Not That movie review after a word from our sponsor.
Walmart presents Be Ready for the Office Coffer.
Every office has one. That awesome guy who's so committed that he comes to work even when he's sick. So you get to share much more than just email.
Be prepared with 19-ounce Lysol disinfectant spray for $4.97, 80-count Lysol wipes for $4.63, and 2 packs of 12-ounce NyQuil DayQuil severe cold and flu on rollback for $13.79.
Walmart shopper one, coughing guy zero.
Save money, live better, Walmart.
Hey everybody, Doug Benson here. Time for Watch This, Not That. In theaters now, Annabelle and the Judge. In Annabelle, a creepy doll comes to life and terrorizes an innocent family. In The Judge, the great Robert Duvall is still alive and terrorizes a bunch of lawyers. So go see The Judge and not Annabelle. This has been Watch This, Not That. Don't forget to check out my podcast, Doug Loves Movies, on iTunes.
Disturbing details emerging about another ISIS massacre and the coalition effort to destroy the terror group.
Evidence of a new massacre by ISIS fighters in Anbar province. Iraqi officials say up to 322 men, women, and children belonging to the Abu Nimr tribe have been killed. Sunnis who fought alongside U.S. forces during the Anbar awakening, raising questions about U.S. strategy to counter ISIS. This, as reports from northern Syria suggest, the al-Qaeda-linked al-Nusra Front has made gains against U.S.-backed rebels whom the CIA trained and armed in recent months to counter ISIS.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin. Could two American journalists beheaded by ISIS have been saved? Intelligence on the failed attempt to rescue them.
As early as May, there was strong and specific information about the location of the American and British hostages, according to a source close to the discussions and telling Fox News. But the rescue mission was not signed off on until early July because the White House wanted the intelligence to build up further before acting. During this time frame, the source also said ISIS had 8 hostages, including journalists James Foley and Stephen Sotloff, who were later beheaded. And the terror group felt so secure in its stronghold of Raqqa, Syria, the hostages were moved between only a handful of locations. And at one point, the hostages were held for at least 3 weeks in the same facility.
Fox's Catherine Herridge, he claims he didn't see them. 31-year-old Jacqueline Bell arrested in the hit-and-run deaths of 3 girls Halloween night, 13-year-old twins and a friend the same age.
There's no doubt in my mind that anybody who was driving in a vehicle that impacted 3 individuals in a crosswalk and had significant damage in their vehicle probably knew something, they hit something.
Santa Ana, California Police Chief Carlos Rojas Bell had two children in the vehicle with him. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. I am Aaron McCready. Happy Election Day Eve. Tomorrow's the big day. It's going to be something. The Republicans are duking it out. The Democrats are duking it out. Libertarians, independent parties all over the country to see where we are headed as a country. Some of their ideas, with all their ideas, really worth taking a look at. But it's up to us as the voter to be educated and decide what's the best route for our nation, just like if you did a job interview for somebody. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes also, I'm sure. But I'm very excited about our guest on the program today. And joining me on the Newsmaker line is David Pennington. And for all of you Georgia listeners out there, and we've got a lot of you, you know him as the mayor of Dalton, Georgia. He's the former gubernatorial candidate here in Georgia. He also is the founder of Advanced Insurance Strategies. He's an economist. He graduated from my favorite, the University of Georgia. And one thing that he believes is that the government that governs least governs best. I am thrilled to have David Pennington on the line. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Aaron. It's good to be with you.
Well, we're on Election Day Eve, and I just want to know your thoughts, how you're feeling about this election, if the Republicans will be able to take over the Senate, or if if it's going to come down to Georgia, and we may be in a runoff between Michelle Nunn and David Perdue.
Yeah, I think the Republicans will definitely take the Senate, and I don't really see a runoff in Georgia. I think David Perdue will probably win it tomorrow. The real shame of this election, whether it be in Georgia or nationwide, is the fact that as Republican strategists have admitted the last few days, as they win the Senate and take a larger share of the House, it's not because people have fallen in love with the Republicans, just because they dislike the Democrats more.
Wow. That just says a lot about both parties, really. I was talking, and I know he's a friend of yours too, to Joe McCutcheon on the air the other day, and I said it almost like Washington, D.C. needs a blood transfusion like you would in the hospital. Maybe some new blood needs to go up there and flush all this corruption, this waste, have new ideas, and really truly represent the people of the United States.
Well, we've tried that over the last decade. If you look at really the changeover in the House and the Senate over the last 10 years, it's been fairly dramatic. What I believe is that you're not going to change Washington, D.C. through Washington, D.C. You need to change it through the states.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would Georgia need to do? I mean, just like one thing that I was looking, and this comes from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, is the U.S. as of September's numbers, the U.S. unemployment rate was 5.9%, but in Georgia it's 7.9%. So, what can we in Georgia do to to further that cause, and then also help our unemployment rate, help the citizens of Georgia be successful, be gainfully employed, and make Georgia the leader in the United States on economic issues.
Well, as bad as having the highest unemployment rate in the nation is, what people need to understand too, it is during the recession from 2007 to 2010. Mid-wage industries have suffered 52% of the job losses in Georgia, and since the recovery from 2010 through 2013, only 15% of the employment gain has come from those mid-wage industries, we've basically swapped out better paying jobs with benefits for minimum wage jobs and part-time jobs. It's made the situation even worse as the unemployment rate came down. And what was certainly concerning in September, we were one of only 10 states that actually lost jobs in September. And, you know, I think the Tax Foundation's latest rankings said it best, is, you know, after what we called tax reform a little over a year ago, we fell from 34th to 36th in tax rankings. And when you contrast that with North Carolina's Republican leadership, who did their tax reform about the same time, after their tax reform, they moved from 44th to 16th.
Wow.
And until Georgia gets serious about tax reform, when you have the, you know, the ninth highest income tax in America, we're not going to turn this situation around.
Well, what do we need to do, especially with this next legislative session coming up at the first of the year here in Georgia? And then, you know, what are you looking at them to do to help rectify this problem? Because, you know, it's millions of Georgians all across the country are suffering. It's not, you know, it's something that needs to be resolved pretty quickly. And then also, is it really the, you know, who needs to really take the lead? Is it the leaders in the legislature, or does Governor Deal need to step out there and have bold leadership to, you know, so we can be the envy of the country?
Well, in Georgia, if the governor doesn't lead it, it doesn't happen. And, you know, Georgia's governor is ranked as one of the top five most powerful in America, which means conversely, you know, the legislature is ranked as one of the 45 least powerful in America, so the governor has to lead it. We've had 12 years of Republican governors, or at least people who ran as Republicans, and we still yet to have true tax reform. Mm-hmm. And until we do that in Georgia, because people need to understand that most of the wealth is created by small companies, not by bribing, you know, crony capitalists to locate a plant here with a few jobs. And a group called the Lowe Foundation in Michigan, which is a research group focused on entrepreneurialism, and they looked at what they called emerging companies. These are from 10 to 99 employees. Between 2009 and 2013, less than 9% of Georgia businesses were in that group, but they accounted for more than 34% of the jobs. And those are mostly locally owned, small entrepreneurial companies that are paying Georgia income taxes because they are subchapter S or LLCs that pay their corporate taxes on their individual tax returns. And those high income taxes really harm those companies who are producing the best jobs. And understand this, too, about those companies. They're based here. They pay Georgia taxes. And they also do with business with other companies their size, mm-hmm. other small businesses, where these plants that we locate here, they don't do business with local accountants, local insurance agents, you know, local suppliers. They have their supply chains all across America. And if we don't get serious about, once again, you know, replenishing our base of entrepreneurial small businesses, we're not going to turn this economy around.
Well, 646-200-3400 is the call-in number if you'd like to call and join in on the conversation. But, you know, people don't realize that, and I think the average everyday Georgian or average everyday American, they don't realize that, you know, they think of taxes and think of, you know, what's being taken out of their paycheck, but they don't realize that businesses are taxed to a different extent also. And when more businesses, you know, people think, not everybody, but, you know, some think, especially with this, you know, Wall Street crowd that goes around saying, you know, business is bad. But, you know, people don't realize that, you know, when these businesses have to pay, you know, a higher tax in different states, they're looking at their bottom line also. And if they can't make a profit to return to their shareholders who are investing in the company, you know, they're going to either have to cut jobs, not hire, or relocate out of the state. And that's why I think it's so crucial that Georgia really takes the lead on this and cut the taxes to draw the good businesses back to Georgia to help the Georgians, you know, provide for their families and be able to retire one day and live the good life. It's a no-brainer for me.
And Georgia will begin recreating or creating wealth again by cutting the income tax. Once again, if you look at another startling statistic about Georgia, you know, Metro Atlanta, which is by far and away the largest economic engine for Georgia, there's nothing even close. From 2000 to 2012, the Metro Atlanta population grew by 30%, yet the young professional population grew by only 2.8%. Only two other metro areas of more than a million people did worse than Atlanta, Detroit
wow.
and Cleveland. And when you contrast that with one of our competitors, Nashville, Tennessee, they grew theirs by 48%. And keep in mind, that's in a state that has no state income tax. And I find it telling that we both have constitutional amendments on the ballot this year. The one in Georgia is to cap the ninth highest income tax in America at 6%. The one in Tennessee is to make sure they never have an income tax.
Wow, that is a huge difference. I mean, it's, you know, we do need to get serious about it. I was looking at the economic numbers, and this is just comparing August to September, and it looks like the construction industry and employment was down. Trade, transportation, and utilities were up. Professional and business services were down. Education and health services were up. So it seems like to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is the private sector is doing the worst, but government seems to be hiring just fine. I mean, is that the case? Is that where we're getting some of the job growth? We're not getting it.
Certainly in September, that's what happened. And once again, you know, the thing that's most disconcerting about that is we're supposed to be governed by conservative Republicans. And unfortunately, our leadership seems to think crony capitalism creates wealth. And I'll just give you one example. We've become, you know, all into this music industry thing where we don't just abate taxes for them. We give them tax credits. In other words, they take my income taxes from my businesses and give it to, you know, the music industry from California to London or whatever. But when you look at the many millions of dollars of tax credits that we've given that industry in Georgia, and we give them so much, they can't even use them all, so they sell them on the open market to other large companies in Georgia. It's only produced, as economists can determine, 8,700 jobs. And that's
wow.
out of an employment base of 4.5 million.
Right. And we have, what is it? 7.9% of that. So, you know, I mean, a lot of Georgians are out of work, and you know, for the music industry, and it's almost like they're seeing stars and Hollywood signs, and they think that, you know, putting Georgia on a stage like that's going to help. And in fact, it's probably just hurting, just the opposite. We need to focus on other things to get this economy rolling.
Yeah, when the states that have tried this long before us, they've now given it up and started reducing or eliminating those tax credits because it just didn't work. North Carolina
right.
is one of them. North Carolina decided to do real tax reform, which was cutting the corporate income tax, the personal income tax, the investment tax. That's how they went from 44th in the tax foundation rankings to 16th, just zoomed past us.
Do you support the fair tax in Georgia?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, obviously, you know, consumption taxes are the way to go. And, you know, anything we can do to get to lower or to eliminate this, you know, onerous high income tax, you know, it's absolutely holding Georgia back. And if we don't do something soon, I mean, the unfortunate side of Georgia is we're now the poorest large state in America, well on our way to becoming the poorest state in America. Well, you know, when Mississippi or Arkansas, as poor as they are, they're states of 2.93 million people. And they can do, you know, certain things to make some impact fairly quickly. We're like an aircraft carrier. We can't do small things. And if we become the poorest state in America, as we're on our way to becoming, you know, we're going to be on the bottom for a long time. And as slow as the metro area is, when you get outside the metro area to the secondary metro cities such as Columbus, Albany, Augusta, you know, they're one base closing away from really being in a depression. And, you know, the next BRAC is coming up in 2016 in the Congress. And most experts are saying we're going to lose at least one base in Georgia. Well, if
mm-hmm.
that happens in Columbus or Valdosta or Albany or Augusta, it's going to be devastating because they haven't recovered from the last recession.
Well, yeah, and you're right. You go through those areas, and it's really like it's like you're just driving through the wilderness. There's really nothing out there but the base and the people that live around there thrive on that. And so if that does close, you're right, it's going to cause a depression, and then it's just going to cause the unemployment numbers to skyrocket even more, and we have no plan. Georgia has no plan, from what I can see, to fight this. I'm told, too, that on Thursday you're giving a speech to the Republican Party, and and hopefully you'll lay out some of these ideas to them, because I think the Republican Party needs to hear this and get the message loud and clear.
Yeah, and, you know, Aaron, the thing about it is I keep hearing about how the demographics are changing in Georgia that are going to favor the Democrats, you know, over the next few years. And it's already changing. That's one reason why they say that why this race is so competitive this time, when it was not supposed to be this competitive until 2018. Well, I truly believe most Americans, most Georgians, we all want the same thing: good jobs, quality health care, good schools for our children. And whichever party delivers that, that's who they're going to vote for the most part. And,
right.
You know, the Republicans in Georgia have not delivered that. You know, we have fallen further, faster than any other state in America over the last 12 years with Republican rule. And the reason being is we haven't had true limited government Republican rule, where we have no tax reform, no tort reform, no regulatory reform, no education reform. You know, after 12 years of this, and people, you know, regardless of demographic change, as we're finding out in Washington, D.C., they're just going to want change. And it's going to be very, very unfortunate that we had this amount of time of Republican leadership with no tax reform, no tort reform, no education reform, no nothing.
Well, is it going to take a third party, a viable third party, to come in, or do we just need a
third party? Is viable. Yeah. The unfortunate side of that, third parties are just not viable, because both parties have it so stacked against any, you know, credible third party starting. It's got to be done through the Democrat and the Republican parties. And, you know, the only chance we have to reform one of the parties, if you believe in limited government, and that's what this country was founded on, is through the Republican Party. And we seem to have the least viable or the most liberal Republican Party that you'll find anywhere.
Right. Well, do you think that, you know, like you said, the past 12 years we've had Republican leadership and have failed to do anything about the, you know, lowering taxes and make it a great environment for businesses to come. But do you think that as Republicans see that the electorate is maybe switching over to the Democrats because the Republicans aren't delivering, that they'll almost be acting like Democrats themselves, trying to buy voters, offering all these freebies like the Obama phone and this type to buy votes and hold their power? I mean, I can see that happening, and it's just going to be a shame.
If it happens, you'll see this country to continue to decline. It's, you know, this country was founded by people that, first of all, had a natural distrust of government. Secondly, understood that risk takers are what build America. And as we lose both of those things, is why the country is becoming poor. But the top 1% or 2% at the moment, whatever growth we have, they seem to be getting all that growth, while everybody else, you know, continues to either languish or decline. And that's why, you know, as the old saying goes, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Well, unfortunately,
right,
the rich are the top 1% or 2%, and the rest of us are in the 98%. And, you know, small businesses, small business generation, entrepreneurs, that's how you create real wealth. Georgia has all the physical assets to do that. We just don't have the government structure at the moment to do that.
What would somebody, if they are thinking about creating a business, and, you know, because it's a big risk. I mean, you know, a lot of times they're doing a second mortgage on their home. They're risking their life savings. But what would encourage someone in Georgia to go do that right now in the current state that we're in with our leadership, both Republican and Democrat? And you know, if they did decide to do that, what would they need to do to make sure that, you know, they're successful and that their business, you know, doesn't flounder?
Well, I think, first of all, we're seeing that answered for us every day when you compare Nashville to Atlanta. And, you know, normally these entrepreneurs are young, educated professionals, because somebody with a poor education now just has a hard time starting a business and being successful, because it's a whole lot more complicated today. And when you've got Nashville that's grown by 48%, they're young professionals. In Atlanta, our major metro area has only grown by 2.8%. You see exactly why Nashville has been far more successful than Atlanta has. And, of course, let's not forget, Nashville's in a state that's ranked 15th by the Tax Foundation. Georgia's ranked 36th. Tennessee has no state income tax, has a constitutional ballot this year to make sure they never have an income tax. Georgia, you know, has the ninth highest income tax in America, and best we can do is a constitutional amendment to cap an already too high income tax.
Well, to add on to your point too, responsible business people that want to start a business, you know, they're looking at places like Nashville, and that's where they're moving and leaving Georgia.
Austin, Texas, who has no state income tax. And they'll be looking in Raleigh and in Charlotte, Greensboro, who did their tax reform, and now they're ranked 16th because the income tax, particularly the personal income tax, is the most onerous for small businesses because almost all small businesses pay their corporate taxes through their personal tax returns.
Is that what's going on, you know, with, Ohio is starting to turn around, and you mentioned Texas, and Texas seems like year after year with Governor Rick Perry that they seem to be doing okay and adding jobs. Is that how they're doing it with lower taxes? Indiana, yep. Is that what's going on, lower taxes with those
states? Exactly. They either didn't have an income tax to begin with, or they've cut their income tax.
Wow. It's mind-boggling, and, I know Governor Deal, and you ran against him in the primaries. I know Governor Deal. We know, a lot of politicians, and they're very smart people. And I just don't understand why they're not jumping on board with this when it would help make the state shine, help the citizens that get them to these elected offices. It's beyond understanding for me. Maybe I'm too simple-minded to understand, but I just don't understand what they're thinking.
Well, because it's hard to do that because you either have to control or cut spending. And most politicians just don't believe you can do that. It's too distasteful to them when they have to tell certain people or certain groups, you're not going to get the largest from the other taxpayers. You're going to have to do without. And, until you find the people that are willing to make those tough decisions, we're going to languish it up. And, if we wait much longer, it's going to be almost the point of no return, which will be a shame for this state because, no offense to states like Mississippi or Arkansas or New Mexico, they can have all the dreams they want. They don't have the raw material to become a great state. Georgia does, and we were well on our way through the 1990s. We had zoomed up from the bottom of 10 to almost to the top 20 in most economic indicators, and now in the last 12 years we've fallen back to the bottom 10, if not the bottom 5 in most of them.
Wow. It's really scary. And, I hope that you stay in the political limelight because we certainly need more people like you out there fighting the good fight, bringing this to the public's attention because, if people like you aren't doing it, we're just going to keep going around in circles and just like a drain, just be flushed right down the drain. And hopefully that won't happen.
Yep, I'm not known to be quiet. So, but you fight the good fight too. Obviously, people like you on the radio, spreading the word and the rest of it. While limited government is what made this country great, and what can make this state great again, also.
Well, and people, and this may embarrass you, I don't know, but people may or may not realize that. You also talk the talk because as mayor of Dalton, you also donate your salary to Dalton State College, and that funds nearly 24 scholarships for students. So, you definitely walk the walk.
Well, I'm not a professional politician. I'm a businessman, a professional businessman. I wanted to make that point. And more business people need to get involved in politics because we've left it to the professional politicians in this country and in this state, and I think we see the results.
When David Perdue wins tomorrow, and hopefully he wins, and if not, I'm sure he'll win in the runoff.
And keep in mind, the shocking thing about David Perdue, and he said this on the campaign trail when I heard him say this, which shocked me, when he wins tomorrow, he'll either only be the third or fourth business person in the United States Senate out of 100 of them.
Wow. Well, that's scary. We need more business people because, we need to run the government more like a business, and I've said it time and time again, is that we need to treat like the electorate like it's the board of this huge organization, and we're sending these our leaders or our CEOs or vice presidents and politicians to represent us, and I don't think they're doing a very good job, and we need to look at their resumes just like if we were hiring somebody and determine what they're really going to do, and I think we've kind of slid away from that as a country, and And hopefully we can get more people like David Perdue up there.
When a professional politician says you can't run government like a business, I don't know what they're talking about, because all government is a service business.
Right. Yep, you're exactly right. Well, David Pennington, I am so glad that you've been on the show. You are welcome back anytime. And if there's anything I can do for you in the future, please let me know. You're out there fighting the good fight, and I really appreciate you coming on.
Okay, Aaron. Appreciate it. I enjoyed being with you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is David Pennington. Excuse me, David Pennington. He is a former candidate for governor. He's also a business person, an economist, and he's out there fighting the good fight every day to try to bring attention to this situation and solutions to how we can get Georgia back on the right track. And the solution is lower taxes. We've got to do that, lower taxes, to draw good businesses, good paying jobs for all Georgians so they can make a living, support their families, put money back so they can retire one day. And the more people do that, the better off we're all going to be. We're going to go back to a news break. We'll be right back after this.
Aaron McCready.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. President Obama cast an early ballot in Illinois. More than 18.6 million Americans already voting in the midterm elections. The rest head to the polls tomorrow. 36 states electing governors. Every House seat on the ballot, along with 36 Senate seats. The GOP hoping to add six, taking away control of the Senate from the Democrats. In some states, the nail-biting will last longer than one night.
Potential runoffs in Louisiana and Georgia's Senate races could delay for weeks a determination of which party will control the Senate next year.
Fox's Carl Cameron, Republicans pulling out all the stops in Alaska. Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal, live from Anchorage.
Jane, yesterday it was Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Today, Republican Senate candidate Dan Sullivan campaigned with Mitt Romney.
My opponent, he votes with Barack Obama and Harry Reid, votes for them. Where are those guys in Alaska? There are no shows up here.
That opponent Sullivan's talking about is Mark Begich, who was previously mayor of Anchorage, and some voters want to keep him.
I believe in his integrity and what he's done for this state so far. I'm happy with.
It is a tight race, though, and most Alaskan voters are not registered with either party, Jane.
Thanks, Jessica. A Democrat running for a House seat in eastern Oklahoma died from injuries he received in a weekend car accident. 81-year-old Earl Emmett Everett, a retired teacher and a Korean War veteran. Boston bidding farewell to that city's longest-serving mayor. Thomas Menino, who served five terms, died Thursday of cancer at 71. Current Mayor Marty Walsh said Menino has gone to heaven to fix some potholes. And the campus of Delaware State University on lockdown after a shooting at an off-campus residence. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Doug Benson from the hit podcast, Doug Loves Movies. Stay tuned for this week's Watch This, Not That movie review after a word from our sponsor.
Walmart presents Be Ready for the Office Coffer.
Every office has one. That awesome guy who's so committed that he comes to work even when he's sick. So you get to share much more than just email.
Be prepared with 19-ounce Lysol disinfectant spray for $4.97, 80-count Lysol wipes for $4.63, and two packs of 12-ounce NyQuil DayQuil severe cold and flu on rollback for $13.79.
Walmart shopper one, coughing guy zero.
Save money, live better, Walmart.
Hey everybody, Doug Benson here. Time for Watch This, Not That. In theaters now, Annabelle and the Judge. In Annabelle, a creepy doll comes to life and terrorizes an innocent family. In The Judge, the great Robert Duvall is still alive and terrorizes a bunch of lawyers. So go see The Judge and not Annabelle. This has been Watch This, Not That. Don't forget to check out my podcast, Doug Loves Movies, on iTunes.
A victim finally recovered from an Italian cruise ship disaster.
Almost 3 years after the sinking of the luxury liner Costa Concordia off the Tuscan coast, the remains of the last victim, Indian waiter Russell Rabello, were found with his ID in a cabin in a soon-to-be-scrapped wreck. Rabello reportedly gave up his seat on a rescue boat to a girl as the ship sank after hitting rocks in January 2012. 32 died in the disaster and hundreds were injured. The trial of the ship's Captain Scatino, known locally as Captain Coward continues in Grosseto.
Fox News Radio's Courtney Walsh in Rome. One of the hosts of the popular NPR show Car Talk has died. Tom Malyazzi suffered from Alzheimer's disease and was 77 years old. He and his brother Ray were auto mechanics in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
I don't know about electromagnetism, but I do know that it never pays to buy a new car.
Don't know much about biology.
That's Tom with a raucous laugh. Both brothers graduated from MIT, a tribute show being planned. One way to go platinum, make people pay to listen to your music. Taylor Swift has done just that at Spotify's expense.
Pop star Taylor Swift has pulled the plug on her music streaming through the music service Spotify, setting a precedent in the music industry. It means Spotify subscribers can no longer access Shake It Off, the service's most streamed song last week, or any of her other songs. People who want to hear Swift's new album, 1989, will essentially have to buy it. Many musicians have complained that the rise of streaming services have made a big dent in their sales. Meanwhile, Swift recently announced tour dates for her latest album and will perform 1989's Blank Space for the first time on the AMAs November 23rd. Michelle Polino, Fox News Radio.
And I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Welcome back to the program. I am Aaron McCready. If you're just joining us, you missed former Georgia gubernatorial candidate David Perdue. He just joined us live talking about the economy and what Georgia needs to do to get us back on the right track to get those jobs out there for all you Georgians who are out of work. And number one worst employment rating in the United States. What is it? I've got it right here. I just probably threw it away, but 5.9% in the United States overall, 7.9% in Georgia. That's a 2-point difference. That's a lot of people. So hopefully the Republican Party, Nathan Deal, will wise up and listen to some of that advice instead of just being up there, crony capitalism, just bringing your buddies in and having all these scandals like Nathan Deal did in the United States Congress and all these he was cleared of. But my goodness, how many times can somebody be investigated time and time again? I mean, my goodness. I mean, I know I'm not investigated for anything. There's a lot of politicians that are never investigated. Why is Nathan Deal always investigated? But he's always cleared. I don't get it. Anyways. So we're going to jump forward now to tomorrow's election. And actually, the weather for tomorrow looks pretty good, so make sure you get out there. It's going to be 68 degrees is the high in Georgia, high in Atlanta. 46 is going to be the low, and then it's going to start raining Wednesday and Thursday. And then looking forward to the weekend, it's going to be a little chilly. Friday, 57 is the high. Saturday, 61 the high. Sunday, 79 the high, and the low on Friday is 30. The low on Saturday is 39, and the low on Sunday is 30. So make sure you grab those loved ones and bundle up with them this weekend if you're out and about. But make sure you get out there tomorrow and vote. Polls open up at 7 a.m. They close at 7 p.m. It is so crucial that you go vote. The state of our nation really depends on how you're going to vote. I mean, how many times have you seen these elections that are just 200, 300 people shy of winning? You know? So every vote really does count. Don't think that you're one of millions, one of thousands. Make sure you get out there and vote. 646-200-3400. That is 646-200-3400. Got a funny story to tell you, too. I have a niece. She's 2 years old. Her name is Kira. And my brother sent me a text, actually right before the show came on. And they live in Virginia. And it was funny because the Democratic senator, his name is Mark Warner, and I guess he's up for re-election there. I don't pay attention to Virginia politics anymore. I've got my hands full of Georgia. But now keep in mind, Mark Warner is a Democrat. So my brother is videoing this and asked Kira, the two-year-old, who she's going to vote for, and what does she say? Mark Warner. So evidently, I need to sit Kira down and have a little conversation with her. Voting Democratic at such a young age, geez, that's a little scary. But anyways, that's what she did. She said she was going to vote for Mark Warner, and I have a feeling my brother really put her up to that, just to see what I would do. That sounds like something he would do. But, you know, tomorrow we got Michelle Nunn going against David Perdue, and I cannot wait until this election is over so I can stop talking about David Perdue and Michelle Nunn and Nathan Deal and Jason Carter and all these folks, and we actually get to the real issues, because, I mean, let's face it, they've said the same thing over and over and over again. There's no real ideas coming out there. They just want to get elected, which is fine. But looks like David Perdue is actually pulling ahead in a half a dozen polls, taking over a two-week period, according to Byron York of The Examiner. He says, in a half a dozen polls taking over a two-week period in the middle of October, Nunn led Republican opponent David Perdue in 5, while the candidates tied in 1. And then that was in October. National Democrats have decided to pour $1 million into the race in Georgia, a sign of how important a victory here would be to their effort to beat the odds and hold on to control of the Senate. That's the Wall Street Journal report, October 17th. More pro-Nunn money came after that, with the barrage of ads focusing mostly on accusations the businessman Perdue outsourced thousands of jobs in Georgia. But, as Byron York says, now things have changed. Perdue has recovered from the attacks. He undisputedly helped create thousands of jobs in his career, and in the last 6 polls taken since October 16th, Perdue has led in 5, while 1 was a tie. And then in the Rear Clear Politics average of polls, Perdue is up by 2.2 percentage points. In the newest poll, an NBC News Marist survey released Sunday, Perdue leads by 4 points, 48-44%. Perdue's position puts him in striking distance of the 50% total required for him to win outright to avoid a January runoff and to dash a lot of Democratic hopes. That's from Byron York from The Examiner. He's also a Fox News contributor. And like I said, if it does go into a runoff, 646-200-3400 is the number. 646-200-3400. But if it does go into a runoff, and I've said this time and time again, and I'm sorry for all you listeners out there that keep listening to me and keep hearing me say this, but if it does go into a runoff, all those Amanda Swafford votes, and she's the Libertarian, all those votes from Amanda Swafford is going to swing, not all of them, but most of them, are going to swing over to David Perdue. Why? Libertarians believe in limited government, small government. Republicans will have you believe that they believe in that too. Both Republicans and Libertarians will tell you that Democrats believe in big government, out-of-control spending, give you what you want so they'll get your vote. Why do they do that? Because they have no ideas. The Democratic Party has zero ideas, zero good ideas. You know, Michelle Nunn in the debate on Sunday with David Perdue, she said, David Perdue says that he will not help the Democrats with any of their ideas. He will not negotiate on any of their ideas. They have no ideas, Michelle Nunn. No ideas at all. Then you've got Jason Carter over there. He's running for governor against Nathan Deal. He says he's for education, and in fact, his wife is a high school teacher. But time and time again, when he was in the state senate, and my friend Greg Williams is actually running for his seat. So make sure you get out there if you're in Greg Williams' district. Make sure you get out there and vote for Greg Williams tomorrow. But not one time that I recall has Jason Carter voted for education spending. He's actually voted against educational spending. And that was actually one of the questions in the Perry debate that was asked of Jason Carter, is why would you create a study or a commission to find out answers about secondary education when your wife is a high school teacher? Now, this guy, he's only been in office for 4 years, political office for 4 years in the state Senate, and he's going and he thinks he's qualified. You know, also, you got Obamacare. What's the Republican plan for Obamacare, to replace Obamacare? They want to say, well, repeal and replace, but replace with what? You know, if we repeal Obamacare, as a tragedy of that bill and of that tax, really, it is, as troubling as that is, if we, and this is where maybe I depart with my Republican friends, and I don't care to speak my mind. I mean, we need more people out there to speak their mind and not just go by the, you know, the right or the left, to have their own brain. But right now, if we repealed Obamacare without a replacement, millions of people actually would lose their health care. Part of Obamacare, as someone pointed out to me, part of Obamacare is 26-year-olds stay on mom and dad's insurance. Well, I disagree with that. The actual 26-year-olds that need the insurance, they would lose their insurance because that's part of the bill. The rare occasion that it's actually helped people get medical insurance, they would lose their medical insurance. So, you know, the Republicans would look like bad guys. The Republicans don't need that to look like bad guys. We are very capable of looking like bad guys on our own without doing something stupid like that. So we need a good alternative and a good replacement for Obamacare. You also have, going back to the Senate race here in Georgia, which is so crucial for our country. This is what you have Michelle Nunn saying in regards to Obamacare. You know, would you support it? This is a question she was asked.
Now, I did take a look at your website. You do talk about campaign finance reform. You do talk about some of the issues you just mentioned. One thing not on your website, health care. Mm-hmm. What is your position on the Affordable Care Act? Are you a supporter of it? Do you think it's a good idea? And what about the Medicaid expansion?
So I come at it from someone who was making payroll and looking at rising healthcare premiums as a CEO of an organization, of a small organization. So I think of it from a practical perspective. And I think if we were actually looking at how do we get more quality healthcare, constrain costs, and get more people covered, we would be having a different dialogue. So I think it starts with, like, what are the things that aren't working yet around our system? You know, when I'm in Southwest Georgia, they tell me that we have among the highest premiums in the country. So we need to add a more affordable tier for families and individuals. I think we need to extend tax credits for small businesses. Because our state did not expand Medicaid, which I think was a mistake, but we need to make sure that we repeal the cuts that are happening or could happen to our rural hospitals. And then I think we need to build upon the things that are working. You know, I talk increasingly to people who come up to me and say, I have health care for the first time. I had a pre-existing condition, and I now have access to real health care, preventative health care. Or talking to a father the other day who said, all three of my sons, age 20 to 26, are covered, and I sleep at night because of that.
Whoever the Republican is that faces you in November, they're going to run against you on Obamacare. Are you going to run affirmatively on the Affordable Care Act?
I'm going to say we actually need to put people ahead of politics and focus on what do we need to do to expand Medicaid and to actually build upon the things that are working and change the things that aren't in terms of health care.
Did you notice she didn't answer the question? Are you going to run on Obamacare? I believe we need to put people above politics, is what she says. We need to look on expanding Medicare. But keep in mind also, when you go vote tomorrow in Georgia, if you're not happy with the president, and most people aren't by all accounts and on the polls, remember what Barack Obama said about Michelle Nunn.
And if Michelle Nunn wins, that means that Democrats keep control of the Senate, and that means that we can keep on doing some good work. So it is critically important to make sure that folks vote. And if Michelle Nunn wins, that means that Democrats keep control of the Senate, and that means that we can keep on doing some good work. So it is critically important to make sure that folks vote.
Good work. Good work. Barack Obama, good work. What have you done that's worked good? Don't know. It's just a shame. You know, here in a minute, before we leave the show, and actually I'm probably going to actually play it right now, actually. I think I want to play it right now because I think it's so important that you learn about David Perdue. You know, if you're somebody that hasn't decided, and I can't imagine that there's people out there that haven't decided because that's such beyond my realm, decided who you're going to vote for and you're listening to the show, I just want you to hear this about David Perdue. It kind of introduces you to David Perdue. It's a little long. It's about, 5 minutes. But I want you to hear it. You know, you see the person on TV, you see the person in the ads, and you really don't get to see them or hear them or what they're like. This is an introduction, and it came from his website. I think you can even find it on YouTube also, about David Perdue, and this is who he is. Take a listen.
Long before he led the Reebok turnaround, long before he turned around Dollar General, and yes, long before David Perdue had run some of America's largest companies, he just helped his family grow watermelons in Middle Georgia. Not a bad way to grow up.
We'd work in the fields all day, and my Uncle Irvin, Sonny's dad, would sneak us away to the White Diamond for a Coke.
We grew up here in Middle Georgia. We had an integral family here. He grew up modestly like we all did here. My dad farmed. His dad went an education. We were working side by side with everyone there, packing watermelons, picking watermelons, toting watermelons, and it was really a great life. He got the real deal stuff here, the morals, the values, the work ethic, and I think that's really what's made him successful today.
I met David in elementary school. We've been married for 42 years. David was a consultant when we first got married, but David learned working for those companies how to turn things around, how to get things done, and how to be successful.
This is the house that I really grew up in.
My mom and dad were school teachers. My dad was school superintendent of Houston County. You learned in that household, or you didn't get to do anything else.
So, David and Bonnie set out for the world and added two sons along the way. David's consulting firm made him stay and implement any changes he recommended. A great lesson in getting things done, not just talking a problem to death. For Sarah Lee, David led their expansion into Asia, living in Hong Kong for 2 years.
It sure was in Georgia.
In the 80s, Reebok was the athletic leader in the world. Then Nike ascended to the throne. After I got to Reebok, we signed the first ever exclusive deals with the NFL, NBA, and NHL, keeping Nike out of those leagues for 10 years. Now that made a huge difference in our turnaround.
Dollar General brought David in as their first non-family CEO. The SEC was investigating the company before David's arrival. Times were tough. He fast-tracked change, and 4 years later, the company had added 2,500 stores and 20,000 jobs. A better future for families. Dollar General is now back fulfilling its mission of helping families get from payday to payday.
Remember the White Diamond when I was a kid? Well, now there's a shiny new Dollar General store right across the street. I like that. It's hard to believe that my opponents have been in office for 63 years. I've spent my life learning how to deal with large, complex situations like I found at Reebok and Dollar General. If these politicians knew how to make a difference, wouldn't they have done it already? I've never run for office, but I have over 40 years of experience in the real world.
I understand the global free market system, how to generate economic growth, which creates quality jobs. They don't, because they haven't spent the last 40 years competing in the global economy. Real change sometimes takes an outside perspective, just like it did at Reebok and Dollar General. Fresh eyes, determination, and a bucket full of common sense with the right experience. That's what I'll bring to the U.S. Senate. When Harry Reid's staff can be exempted from Obamacare, we need an outsider to change that. When our debt becomes so great that it becomes the largest threat to our national security, we need an outsider to change that. If we can put the world on my iPhone, why can't we balance our budget? If we can send a man to the moon in less than 10 years, why can't we eliminate our debt? And if we can bring down the Soviet Union by the strength of our economy and the power of our ideas, why can't we get America working again? The decision in this election is very simple. If you like the results coming out of Washington right now, then pick one of these four professional politicians. It really won't matter, because you know nothing will change. But if you're as outraged as I am by the size and scope of our government, by the amount of money they take from our pockets, and by the inexcusable, childish behavior exhibited in Washington right now, then I hope you'll give this outsider from Georgia a chance. Fixing big problems like this is what I've done all my life. It's what I do. Help me change the childish behavior up there. If we want different results in Washington, we have to send a different type of person to Washington. I'm David Perdue, and I approve this message.
That's a little introduction to David Perdue. Here's your introduction to Michelle Nunn.
I defer to the president's judgment.
There you go. Kind of makes the choice clear, doesn't it, on who you need to vote for tomorrow, David Perdue or Michelle Nunn. The balance of power in Washington, D.C. could very well be in Georgia's hands tomorrow. All eyes are looking upon us right now to see what we're going to do. As you heard David Pennington say earlier, you know, we're not leading the nation right now in jobs, in growth. We are leading it in taxation. But one thing that we can do tomorrow is lead the nation into a new era of change, into a new era of government, and put the Republicans back in control of the United States Senate. It may come down to Georgia. It may be Georgia's deciding vote on who controls the United States Senate in January. If we go into a runoff, the runoff won't be until January 6th. The new Senate will have already been sworn in, and it's going to be in limbo if the Democrats or Republicans will be in control. We need to send a message loud and clear tomorrow to the nation that the Republican Party is in control. The Republican Party is the best of the two in limited government, giving you control of your money, knowing that you know what's best for you and that the government needs to butt out. You don't want somebody telling you what to do. You don't want somebody telling you where to put your money. You don't want somebody telling you how to live your life. If you do want that, vote Democratic. If you don't want that, vote Republican. You know, you'll hear this in every election that is so crucial that you go out and vote because this is the biggest election in the history of the world. That's what you will hear every time. But it really is important, actually, tomorrow that you go vote. Whether you're listening in Georgia, whether you're listening in Virginia, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Colorado, Nebraska, Texas, Florida, wherever you might be. Go vote tomorrow. Have your voice heard. Thousands, really millions of people lost their lives, so you have that right to go vote. People come to this country every year just to have that right to vote. To be able to take part in a democratic process and actually have their voice heard. In countries all over the world, their voices aren't heard. They have no say. They're under communist rule, under a dictator's thumb. But here in the United States, we do have a say. We have a say who our leaders are, and we can hold them accountable. So tomorrow, let's hold them accountable. In Georgia, the polls open at 7 a.m. and close at 7 p.m. Make sure you go vote. I support David Perdue. I hope you do too. Just a quick program note before we end the show. We got a show tomorrow, 9 p.m. We're going to recap the elections. Hopefully we'll know who won by then. And then also on Thursday night, 9 p.m., we'll have a show as well. Thanks for being with me. Remember, go vote tomorrow. And we'll see you tomorrow night.